Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world from what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No
Teach the babies, because they're the ones who's coming up. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Times of thinking ahead. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world. And I am just happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family. Focus on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we're going to acknowledge God with his word, and we're going to be reading my favorite, A Living Sacrifice to God. Life is a sacrifice. And it is Romans 12, 1 through 13. And here reads the word of God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you were.
Proverbs 6, my son, if you have put up security.
Sorry. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to one another. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. And let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Lord, thank you for the Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of Bring Back the Family. God, we pray that you will use us and this venue to help us learn how we really can bring back the family. That is, in the manner that you mean for families to operate. Lord God, please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help your children do what it is you have for them to do. We are your children. Please help the parents to give us what is needed to make it in this world. And Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have a day that Bring Back the Family concentrate on the youth. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion so reminded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping. And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak and to them that are listening. Let your glory come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wake up, everybody. You know, that's my favorite song. It's like a good theme, you know. It just talks about everything that we need to be doing right now. And it says a lot. And it's just a call for the people to wake up to what's happening around us. It's a call for the people to wake up, get engaged, and make a difference. It talks about hatred, war, and poverty, challenges that have been with us since the beginning of time, calling for reform and change, awareness, hope, and accountability. Whose responsibility is it? It says, no more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. Who is responsible? And who is willing to sacrifice and take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get to it? What are we going to make of it in our minds to do? What are we going to make up in our minds to do to help make this world a better place for our youth, our children, and who will be in charge of the next generation, okay? Who's going to be in charge? Who will be in charge? Our youth. The youth will be in charge. They're the ones that will be carrying the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them to do it. We prepared them for their future and for the future. Okay? So, Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness of what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens, so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to society and others all around the world. And what they need is a new start, a bogey, a do-over, and they need us to help them. My dad always said all kids need is a good foundation. Okay, that's all they need is a good foundation, something to stand on. something to stand on. And so if we prepare them like our parents prepared us, they were focused. They spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a nuisance to the community, public, okay? Wherever we went, they wanted us to be good, productive citizens. They didn't want us to be terrorized and going around making a bad name for them and ourselves, okay? And they didn't have to worry about us. So our job is to put them out there where we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to worry about getting a phone call because we didn't prepare them, okay, while they're out in the community. Okay. So that's what Bring Back the Family is about. What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Because we could look around right now and look and see what's going on all over the world, you know, killing and chaos. And that's why this show is so important, because these are our kids, and this is what we're talking about. You know, it's important to talk about what's going on right now, okay? Like I said, these are our kids, and that's why it's so important to talk to them and communicate with the youth, communicate with our kids, and find out exactly what's on their minds daily. Pay attention to them. You know, go in their rooms, look around, check and see, you know, what's under their bed, what's in their closet, what's in their purses, what's in their backpacks. Find out what's going on and what the other kids are saying in the classroom. And maybe we can stop some of this stuff on the forefront. We have to communicate with our kids. We see them more than anybody else. They're with us all the time, so we should know them. We should know when changes are going on, when changes are happening with them. And like I said, just listen to what they say. Communicate with them. Listen and find out, you know, what's going on in school. What's going on the block? What's going on the street? What did you hear? You know, communicate with them. Be open with them so that they will communicate and talk to you. Okay? Hey, I'm just glad everybody is tuned in. Welcome, and just thank you for tuning in. Last week we talked a lot about father and fatherhood, and some of the fathers called in and just, you know, talked about their experiences with raising their kids. Mr. O.C. Called in and talked about raising his two sons, where their mom just kind of dropped them off on the front porch and said she wasn't coming back to get them. And so he had to just step up and do what, you know, we do every day as parents, mothers do. So he had to just step up and learn to take care of them single-handedly. And he gave us his story about that, and it was a pretty good story. So, yeah, men can take care of kids. They can. They do a pretty good job. You just need more of them to step up and just be a part of the whole system, the whole part of the family circle, so that our kids can be well-rounded, you know. I know they could be well-rounded with just one parent, but it's just, you know, they could get it all, the whole experience, having mom and dad around. So if it's possible to keep dad around, if it's possible to keep mom around, you know, make it possible. Do all you can to just focus on those kids and focus on what it is that they need and kind of forget about ourselves for a minute, because this is their time. You know, that's important to me, that this is our youth time. This is our kids' time. They're here and they're in this world and they're, you know, with you. You brought them here. This is their time. This is their time that we owe them to give them what they need to make it. I went to church today. I try to do that, you know, get church in when it's time on Sundays I go. And it just gets me through my week because, you know, it's important and we need to start taking our kids to church and give them that part, you know, like I said, so they can be well-rounded in all and everything that they do. You know, we go everywhere else that we want to go, and that's how I get myself up to go to church because I know that I didn't make it through this week by myself. And I say, okay, if I could go to work, if I could, you know, get them hours and hours and hours, go wherever else I want to go, at least I can get up and give God some time too because he's the one that allows me to be healthy enough to be able to go to church, to be able to go to these jobs, to be able to do whatever it is that I want to do through the week. And so I want to give them that time. I want to, as I am grateful. Okay. Like I said, communication is important for us to. It's important for us to communicate with our kids so that we know what's going on because there is a lot going on in this world. A lot of chaos and killing, like I said earlier, is another one today or yesterday. And we don't know when it's going to stop. So that's why we need to be in close communication with our kids and keeping our eyes and ears open so that we can do whatever we can do to keep them safe. And praying is number one. We have to pray for our kids, pray over them before they go out the door, you know, making sure they go safely and get back safely. A lot going on. We got graduations going on. We'll announce some of those at the end. Another thing that, we talked about on the show last week is the men, just encouraging them. Be encouragers of our fathers, of our men. We have a lot of talk about relationships and getting along and not getting along, you know, with men and our spouses and boyfriends and things like that, relationships. But we really do have to encourage one another and lift each other up and just think about, you know, the good things that people do because everybody has some good in them. Okay. I got some notes here. And so one thing that my baby brother talked about on the show last week was that he drives a truck and when he go and does his deliveries and things like that to the schools, I guess he said 90% of the classrooms have women in them, no men. And so that just really sparked my interest. I was like, wow, you know, that's kind of deep because I guess the way I took it is that and what I got out of it is that, you know, when you have a man that's coming in to do harm to a classroom or someone around, I mean, they don't really have no problem with shooting a man, but I think that what he was, what I got out of it is that they might be a little bit more apt to come in when there's a man in the classroom, you know, man to man. I'm not a man, but men know men. And so, but like you said, if you see women in a classroom all the time, then, you know, that I guess might make it easier for them to come in and do what they do, even though they already had in their mind what they were going to do. I don't know if this kid that killed all those children was a student there or was a student there, but he was old enough to know that, yeah, there's a number of women up in there. So I'm going in. I don't know. That's just my thought. But I thought that was interesting that he said that it's just mostly women in the classroom. And I think that we need to start gearing our kids to go into education, to go into our young men, to go into education so that we can get more men teachers in the classrooms. Because the young men, they need to see men. They really do. They need to see men teaching. They need to see men doing positive things. They need to see men doing important things and helping and being a part of something that's good and that's going to help mankind. You know, they need to see these things, because if they don't, then what are they going to have to look forward to? If they don't have a man in the house, they don't go to school and see a man, then what is it that they're going to look forward to? How are they going to be if they only just see women, you know, all the time? And nurses, they have a great need for nurses. So let's start talking to our young ladies and our young men about being nurses, because it's a shortage. Have all kind of shortcuts now for you in order for you to be a nurse. So let's start talking to our young people about their careers and what they can do. And nursing and education is like at the top of what they need right now. So let's start preparing our young people for those positions, because it's for them too. It's for them. That's who it's for. They're up and coming. They're the ones who's coming up. So we have to prepare them and put in their minds what we want them to do, you know, what they need to be doing to get prepared for, you know, these jobs and careers that's there for them, okay? How that sounds? So after I finish yakking, I want everybody to just press one, and let's talk about some things today that, you know, that's relevant, that will help get the next generation to where they need to be. You know, we had our time. We still having our time, but we need to focus on those little people so that they can have something to look forward to. Okay. Yeah, moment. Question for church. Yep. So, and then, okay, I've got some notes here. Yep. Let's see. Next testimony. Do everything that we can to encourage the youth to take classes. Encourage them, because we have a lot of young folk graduating, and they're going to their prospective colleges and different things. They might be taking up a trade. Like I said, at the end, we're going to recognize some of those young people that have graduated and that are graduating. So tell me, what are you guys doing? You know, because we've been talking, Bring Back the Family is almost a year in. I think like next week on Father's Day, it'll be a whole year. And so just come in and talk about what have you done to help the youth? What have you done to check out what's going on in your block, communicate with the youth on your block to help give them what they need to make it? What contributions have you made? What are you doing now to let the youth know that we care about them and that we want the best for them? I know that we have some testimonies. Did you register anybody in a class? Did you give them some information about a career? Any information about a job, any information about financial aid, anything that will help. Every little bit help, it don't matter what you do. These kids, they need so much. They need so much. Even our church is have a lot of things going on with trying to help you and help with the different jobs that people can do. We have a website at our church to let you, that tells about jobs. It tells about, getting your record clean, expungement. Talks about a lot of information. So, and that's where you get a lot of information from your church. So get involved in a church if you're not involved in church, and get to read some of the resources that you may need, or start a resource page that your members or your friends can take advantage of. So like I said, we have those resources at our church. And so just what some of the things, just share with us, like this past weekend, I blocked my street off, and the half of it off, and had a really, really good time with the youth. You know, we played volleyball, we played soccer, we had all kind of board games, and we had a little food going on, and we was able to block the street off, and it just felt so good not having to worry about the cars coming up and down the street, you know, going fast, and all the little kids being able to run around and not have to worry about, you know, being hit by a car or me fussing at them about staying out the street. So they really had a great time, and I thought that was so cool. And then I got a chance to talk to the parents about bringing back the family and some of the things that we're planning on doing. And they were very interested, you know, because it is about the kids. And so I was letting them know we did this, put this on, and the kids helped. The kids helped put up all of the equipment. They got up early. They helped block the streets off. They helped clean the block up. And it was a way for us to meet all the new neighbors that we have. And so everybody was pretty much involved. But I was just so impressed about the kids because they all helped out, and they was excited about just having something to do and being able to play. It was just like, you know, when we were kids and we could go outside and just play and just not have to worry about anything, because we could play in the street and cars would go the other way instead of just, you know, come flying down the street and running us over. And it kind of felt like that. And it just really was a great, great feeling to just see the kids out there having a good time and not worrying about anything. They were actually being kids, you know, jump roping and just running and laughing and just, you know, making all the noise they wanted to make. And, you know, they were helping. And those things helped teach them how to, you know, get a gathering going, how to help out, how to set up a block party, a block function or something like that. It taught them a lot, and they were willing to learn, and they were willing to help. They got up early and helped put it together. And so that just really made me feel good, filled my heart, just to see them seeing them with their happy faces. So those are some of the things, and they're simple things. You know, you might have to spend a few dollars to go buy some equipment so that they can play, go to Goodwill and get some stuff, get some volleyballs, some soccer balls, soccer goalies. They have all that stuff at Goodwill, or they have it all at Walmart, and get a little food, and just like having fellowship. And you can just watch their little faces be happy because someone is doing something for them. Someone is caring about them, okay? So it's all about the kids, because we don't want these kids to grow up and be one of these kids, that adults that grow up and just go around to hurt people, okay? Because these are our kids. That's somebody's child that went out and hurt all those 19 kids. That is somebody's child. And so this is why Bring Back the Family is important, because we are seeing exactly what we're talking about. People, now children are being victims, okay? Children are being victims. Talk about us being victims, now the kids are being victims. Okay, so what Bring Back the Family is about is exactly what's happening right now. Okay, so we're going to try to head it off at the path the best that we can. The best that we can. And so what are you going to do to try to help the next generation just be kids at the point where they're supposed to be kids, just being able to be a kid, that they don't have to worry about certain things, you know. Give them some jump rope, play some jacks, you know, play some ping pong, play, you know, give them something to play as kids, you know, and then take them to the next level, you know. All of this is just training and teaching, you know. So, yeah, that was a great thing. And so the next day when I came home from work, this is funny, when I came home from work, I was like, okay, let me go home. I'm always working. Let me go home, and I'm just going to, you know, finish working and relaxing, but finish working and get some work done. But when I got home, almost every one of those kids was sitting on my porch. They were sitting on my porch waiting, just waiting. And I was like, oh, boy, look at here. And they were like, hey, Miss Kathy, Miss Kathy, Miss Kathy. And I'm like, oh, boy, you know. So they wanted part two. Can we play some games? Can we do this? Can we do that? See, this makes them hungry about doing something and being their ages, being little and playing games. Can we do this? Can we do that? Mm-hmm. And so, yep, I said, okay. I promised to do these things, so I'm going to do them. So we went back over to the field that they cleaned up, and then we cut the grass and made that field look presentable. And so now they know that's somewhere that they can play where they don't have to play in the street. Went over there, and we played a little volleyball, took my little chair and my paper, and I did my little notes and watched them play volleyball for a little while. Okay. It just takes a little time. Little sacrifice, just a little time that they want us to spend with them, okay? It gives the parent a break a little bit, you know, because parents do need breaks. And then just to help out and just to see their little faces happy, okay? So those are just some of the things I wanted to share. So what else can we do? Okay, what else can we do to help our little ones to be safe, to get what they need to make it, you know, teach them how to read, teach them how to write, give them a book, take them on an outing, you know, take them to get some 7-Eleven slushies, I don't know, if they want so much, but we were given. We were made safe. Okay, we had what we needed. Okay, we know how to go out here. We know how to treat people. We're not being nuisance. We're not being vexful adults. Okay, so somebody taught us that. Somebody taught us how to be. And so that's our job, to go out here and be what we were taught so that they can learn. Mm-hmm. So when you walk out the door, have that face on, have that happy face, have that positive, encouraging attitude so that they can be just like that. They can learn. Say, okay, this is how you're supposed to treat people. When you come out the door, you're supposed to be happy. You're supposed to have a good face on. You're supposed to be encouraging and loving and be ready to give some hugs to them, you know. And that's the way they're going to learn. That's the way they're going to learn. Yes. So I am going to open up the phone lines. And if you want to have a word to say, we're going to talk about some things. Fathers, take your rightful place. Take your rightful place. Men, take your rightful place. I'm just tired of hearing the negative about the men. I'm just tired of hearing. I've been reading Proverbs, because that's what I'm going to teach next week. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to lead it. I'm going to lead a discussion in Proverbs, and it just talks about so many wonderful things. It's like, this is doing it God's way or doing it your way, you know. I'll do this if you do that. You know, and it's a comparison, it's a contrast, and it's compared with something good with something bad. And, you know, if we do it and just choose to do it God's way and just choose to do the right things and, like, nothing but right going to come to you, you know, really. Really. So, fathers, just take your place. I don't want to hear anything else about men. Fathers, just, you know, find your place. Take your place. You have a place to be. God made you for a reason, and we need you. We need you for protection, okay? We need you to be there to give you what it is that a father gives us, you know, encouragement. I can't even tell you what all my dad gave me, but I know that I always have felt safe, and that's very important to me, to feel safe, and it's important to me for kids to feel safe and that we keep them safe. That's very important. Mm-hmm. I saw my dad go to work every day. He came home, and we greeted him. He was glad to come home because we was just all over him. Yes, it gave him a reason to keep going back out. Okay? So if you want to be able to rest well forever, then, you know, be that man. Be that father for your kids. Be there for them. You be there for them, they will be there for you. Guaranteed. Yeah. Come on, man, get to the races. Take your place. Take your rightful place. Do what you're supposed to do in this world. You know, treat these women right. You know, treat them with love and respect. And women do the same thing. Treat the men and fathers and brothers and teach them with love and respect. That's it. You know, just like we would treat anybody, just treat each one another good. Treat one another with love, kindness, and respect. Because we are really, really, really out of order. Really out of order. I just hear so many wild and crazy stories. And these are somebody's kids. Okay? So we're going to do better with the next generation of kids. We're going to show our kids love. We're going to show them how to love, you know, respect one another. It starts young. It starts young. We have to show them. Okay? All right. So if you want to have a word to say, you can press 1, and I will open up your mic. And just press 1, and we can have some conversations. You want to talk about what's going on right now in the world with all these shootings and things like that. Wow, where did it all come from? Well, you almost need to have a psychologist or something just explain all this. You know, I don't know. it's happening, and we have to learn how we can, you know, combat these things. I think God's going to give us another chance to redo all of this. We have to redo it, and we have to start with the little ones because they're going to grow up. If we don't give them anything, then the world will give them, you know. If we don't give them the right things, the world will give them what they want to give them. Okay. 8110, you are on Back to the Family. Would you like to have a word?
Yeah, okay. Yes, I will.
Okay.
I heard you speaking about the father situation. Well,
uh-huh.
That is a battle all in itself because we always get this little negative image. But
mm-hmm. Right.
I guess we have to correct it. At the same time, though, as far as raising other people's children, my son did never have a problem with that. I thank God for that because he was always showing a whole lot of love. But he said, Dad, mm-hmm. You know how many brothers and sisters I got, and it ain't nobody but me? I say, mm-hmm. He said, all those boys and little girls you done raised, and they all look at me as like they big brother when they see me and stuff. I say, well, those are children that didn't have the opportunity to have what you had. So what you had, which is me, we share it with other parents, I mean other children. Because I have several children at this time. Spot me anywhere and just start saying, I said, hey, man, that was one, you know, I just had to do it because I wanted to make sure you didn't miss out. My mother's mother and my mother and I, you'd be surprised at how many birthday parties we orchestrated out in River Rouge on that one little corner we used to live on. My grandmother took a liking to a couple of little boys that I took a liking to. And she had this one little boy named Ivan, just was like everything to her. And my mother, same way, we did everything we could to make sure, I hate I said his name, I apologize. But we did everything we could to make sure that little boy had a real life, because we could see he wasn't going to have one. And he turned out to be pretty decent. I see him now, and he's, Mr. Reed, I said, little Ivan, you made it, huh? He said, what you mean I made? I said, we didn't think he was going to make it, but as little as you were, he was a very little guy in stature. But he's up there now. But there's other children throughout River Rouge and Detroit that my son and I have partook in making them hopefully had a better life. So, like you say, you do have to share your time. But one thing is, a lot of times children don't want you giving your time to other children sometimes. I've noticed, I did find that out sometimes too. They want you all to themselves for at least a day or two. But, you know, it's like you said, men have to want to be that person. No matter how much we talk to them or what we train them to do, if it ain't in their heart, it's not going to happen. There's some people that just want to make babies and keep on moving. I wasn't one of those. Wow. I've been having my son since day one from the hospital. And it wasn't easy as a young father. But I had a lot of help. I had my mother, my grandmother, my dad, my grandfather, and my sister, like, on the spot. They was kind of always there to help me. Because I worked crazy. I was in different jobs. So I did have help. So it do take a lot of help to make it work. But to shut that down, our only problem now is it's hard to deal with other people's children because the parents don't want you to say anything to their children. That's one. And two, it's so scary because if you so much as touch a child's shoulder or back the wrong way, then you're subject to these different charges as possible, whether you did it or not. Mm-hmm. If they said it wrong to their parents and their parents took it wrong, it could be a bad issue for certain parents. I mean, certain people. So it's kind of scary that I think that's some of the reasons why people don't get out and try and help children too much now because of the possibility of being accused of something. And that's it. I'm through.
That's true. Yeah, but we can't be afraid. We have to go ahead and help whatever way that we can help, even if it's just giving a kid a book, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's a sticky situation, but like we have to help. We do have to help. And like you said,
and introduce them into a lot of, introduce them to things. Introduce them to a whole lot of different things. I tried to introduce the little ones that I had access to different things, like going to restaurants. They weren't familiar with that, you know, how to act at a restaurant, take them to various places, baseball games, basketball games. And sometimes it could be expensive, and that's why my grandmother and my mother came into play, because some of the things I did, they knew about it, and, you know, I pay for his ticket, and you pay for the mother, too, and my mother would pay for a ticket just so I could take them little boys to various places, because you could see that they was lacking, but they were still good fellas at heart, and that's the way I looked at them.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, it helped me to keep from having to have my son with me all the time. He could hang out with his little friends.
We take chances in life. We have to. We can't just leave them be the way they are. Because if we don't help, we don't even know what would happen if we, you know, if we don't help. If we do help, you know, you get to see the reward later.
But we have people like
we can't be afraid because there's so many things that we do, you know, and we just can't be afraid. We got God behind our backs, you know, on our side, and He knows our hearts. And once you get to doing, you know, people get to know you. And you're, you know, doing things to help. Then they get to learn to trust. I know it's a whole different day now, but none of these things you did would have helped anybody if you hadn't have done them. So you have to, you have to just kind of do them.
I've guided a few guys. I've guided a few guys to the military. One to keep from going to jail, but the other one is he knew he wasn't college material, but he knew he needed some kind of training. So the couple of guys I guided towards the military, one went to the Army, one went to the Air Force. So, you know, if you give some kids some quality time, yes, it's not always a guarantee they're going to do right, but it helped to know that you got somebody on your team. But, see, we had people like you hear Pastor O say about his brothers now. They they told us a lot of things, showed us a lot of things growing up, and if it wasn't them, it was their friends. So we had a lot of people teaching us growing up. And then again, we were attentive to what we were seeing, whereas now these young guys, they got their own ideology of how they want to live because of what they've seen on TV or what they've heard, and it can cause some problems. And they don't look at the problems that it can cause. They just look at how it can be advantageous to them down the road somewhere. And then next thing you know, they either shot up or locked up. Because they wanted that shortcut.
Yeah, and that's why we keep them out. We keep them out and keep them busy so that they don't won't be learning from, you know, the media and all that, the TV and sitting in there watching TV all the time. When you give them something to do and let them know that it's always something better to do, yeah, and you're interested in them, you're taking them away from that environment of watching TV all the time, playing video games all the time, you know, making sure they get out and work, cut the grass, you know. Because I know men do things differently, you know. What you just said that you did, yeah, that's what, you know, how you do it. And young men, you know, understand men differently. Is that true? How do you, I mean, tell me something about two men, a young fella and you. What?
Well, hold on, let me say something.
Communication wise.
Woman can be just as well, because my mother was like the warden, Jack, believe me. And she had three teenage boys. Didn't have no problem out of none of them. So a woman can do just as well as a man, so I'm not going to act like we're the only ones can do it.
Nope. That's what I'm saying. Y'all can do a whole lot. I know the woman going to hold it down, you know. They will hold you down, turn you upside down and everything.
We get that title of being a disciplinarian, where the mama gets the title of being the one that nurture you. So they get all the love. We get that look at us like, oh, here comes daddy. Golly. Because you know something might happen. Here come mama, you about to get your peppermint patty from her. But from one of us, we may knock your son off the head or thump you in the head. So we get bad rap.
Is that your rightful place? I mean, I don't know that you're the disciplinarian. And, I mean, even with the girls, they look at their fathers as, okay, we ain't going to play with him, you know. So don't that make it all work? Well-rounded and work right.
I don't know.
Somebody
their mothers
gotta be the one that.
Their mothers be there. They can make it happen. They can make it happen. I don't know how.
Oh yeah.
We don't get the credit of making it happen.
Yes,
we might pay
the
bill, but we don't
get
the title.
You get the credit in the end.
Doesn't matter. As long as my grandchildren and my son is on point, I'm still working on my son though. Because he got his own ideology, and I don't always agree with it, but he's an adult, so I can't do nothing about it, but just keep giving him information. But, you know, it's, only thing I can say, and I'm going to shut up after this, is that we need to, we used to have playgrounds that would take us to different places. They don't even do that. The kids don't know what they can be exposed to now. Like you said, the video game, and basically that's it, the video game. We played basketball. No, actually, we played four squares until Mr. Perry told us that was enough. You know, we were making so much noise. When he said it, it was over. You didn't say, oh, one more game, one more game. You just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
we don't have – the children don't respect adults like that anymore.
Mm.
Yeah. He would be the only guy with stopping Mr. Perry.
Well, that's why we have to bring it back.
We do need those back. But it's just, where can you find them now?
Well, like I said, if you check out your block or you go to somebody else's block, if you check out your block or if you see kids around you, you could see if they're disrespectful, if they're not. Then you could check them, you know, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're watching us. They're watching and seeing what we're doing. You know, because they learned all this from us. They're not just being disrespectful because they're disrespectful. They've been taught all of this. And so it's our job to, you know, try to kind of change that around. Yeah.
I just could be fine.
So the
kids
I hang out with, they can't say bad words in front of me. They cannot. They cannot say bad words in front of me. Then they cannot be around me. Okay?
I understand that. We couldn't even say certain words. Like, forget you, we couldn't say that. Because you know what that means. No, I don't. Say it again, and I'm going to show you what it means to me. That's what we got.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the kids, if I said, like, shoot or something like that, you know.
That was another one.
They're ready to check me. They're like, ooh, Miss Kathy. So I like that. They keep me in check, too.
Right.
You might make a mistake. If you burn your hand, you're going to say something, right? So they're like, ooh.
No, I'm saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I need that to remind me.
Right.
That's a hot item there.
Then you say something out the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then you have to let them know that it's not, you know, it's not acceptable, that you can learn some new words. You could learn other words, you know, to say. Because they could spell those bad words, they could say them. But do you know how to spell encyclopedia? Do you know how to spell this word? Do you know how to spell that word? What do this word mean? What do that word mean? You know, challenge them in that way. You know, then they start to thinking about it. Okay, I ain't using that word no more because Miss Kathy is gonna be trying to teach me something. I don't want to learn. Yeah.
Wow, you know, I ain't had a kid spell that word, and I don't know when, encyclopedia.
Yeah. They can't spell encyclopedia. That means they're not looking in one.
So
what you just described is what, you know, what you had and what you used to do and how you brought your kids up with other kids. And like you said, some of them don't want to share, but they do want to share, you know, as long as they, you know, they are together and they having a good time. Because I know they used to like to be able to come and spend a night and things like that. And so, like I know with Keela, with her foster kids and all, you know, her kids had to share, her boys had to share, and with all the foster kids that she had, and you know, they had reservations sometimes, but they never really credit much. She would explain to them, you know, they need help too. And that was a way for them to be able to learn how to help and learn how to give and learn how to, you know, not be
except
selfish.
Others.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing well.
It all starts with us. That's why that's not just my little favorite saying all the time, peace and love, but it's just true. We need to try and express more peace and be a little more loving to any and everybody. It don't have to be no certain color or certain gender.
Mm-hmm.
You see that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know if I do my part and somebody else do their part, at least two pieces of the part to be done. So I try to do what I can to make it. So if it's peace and love, I'm going to give as much as I can give.
Yeah, don't stop. Just keep going to the end.
I'm be like my dad. I'm going to stop till I get enough.
I'm going to stop till you get enough. That's right.
Right, exactly.
I wanted to just Yeah, I wanted to just stop and just kind of ignore what was going on and just say, okay, I done did all that. I'm not doing it no more. I'm going to cover my head and I'm going to go sleep all day if I want to. That's what
right.
I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But God said, nope. It ain't over till I say it's over. And I'm like, golly. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of got back in that mode. You know, I'm older now, but I can't do like I used to. But, yeah, they get on my nerves, but they keep on coming.
But you do keep
good.
Your crew. That's
what they say. Huh?
I say you do keep your crew.
Oh, geez.
And like Pastor O said today, you ain't talking about it. You being about it. You ain't just saying you this way. You showing it with your actions. So, yeah.
That's all I know. So get on board. Everybody get on board. And just do something for your group, for your street and your block. And just imagine what that can do. You'll have kids coming back saying things that you didn't even know that you did. You're like, it did? Okay, cool. You know, you all right? Yeah. So, yeah. And
that's
they,
true.
They take
I
that with them.
What
wherever they go, it takes it. They take it with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that way you know you've done something for God before you leave here. We all need to do something for God before we leave here. It's all for God. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bless whatever you do. He's going to bless whatever you do. So don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Get out there and help a child do something. They're just little people. They don't know no better.
Just little people, huh?
They just little people. I just love them. They just run around the church. They so little. And that little Luke, I think that's going to be my little guy right there. I love his name. And he's so little. And he be busy. He just walk around.
That's a little short one. That's a serious little boy.
Yeah, Naomi's little boy.
Something about them little children there, they are not no little whiners and crybabies of when you touch them or ask them to come here. They come right to you, and that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they're mature. Growing up or something.
Cause Logan walk around like a little man, huh?
Like a little man. Then they all go up there and start singing little Isaiah and Sarah's babies. Cracking us up, but they be really, really serious. So I like that. And they're getting to see and they're watching. That's why they're doing that stuff. They're mimicking what they see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important to take your kids to church because they get to see, you know, some good stuff going on. Yeah. And they make you laugh at the same time.
Yeah.
And you want them to be protected and you want them to be able to live right. What is wrong with taking the kids to church? I was talking to this young man the other day. I called to see how he was doing. And his mom was telling me that he was, you know, being a little disrespectful or whatever like that. So I talked to him. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I guess the moms, you know, kind of do, I don't say nag them or whatever like that. But so I asked him, I said, well, do you read your Bible? And he said, well, I don't get into all that religious stuff like that. I said, well, what's religious about reading the Bible? I said, it's a book. I said, it's a self-help book. It's something that'll help you, you know. I said, you get into everything else. I mean, you know, do you smoke marijuana? You do. What do you do? You didn't ask nobody about that. You know, you just did. You know, I said, is that helping you? I say, so why are you, you know, not thinking about a book as being, you know, I'm not into that religious stuff. I say, but it's a self-help book and it's something that can help you. You know, help you get through life. You say you want to be a brain surgeon, you know. Well, it might be something in that book that'll help you do that, you know. You might need to be praying before you start working on people's brains, or you got to be able to get to that point, get to school, and you know, make sure you're making good grades. You got to get to being a brain surgeon. You don't just be a brain surgeon. You got to go to school, lots of schooling. So just like you're going to read those school books, that Bible, the same thing. It's a book that you read, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what a lot of kids are saying. I ain't into all that. I ain't, you know. And where did they get that from? Where did they get that from? You know, that's the first thing they want to throw in the garbage. You know.
I agree with you on that.
Mhm. Yeah, first thing. So maybe we have to start explaining to them, you know, what it's really about. Just give them something to think about.
How you know it's the real deep? I get all them crazy questions.
Right. Yeah. So they don't go to church if they don't know. I mean, they don't go, you won't know.
Mhm.
I'm going to have to ask Pastor, well, how do we answer those questions, and what do we say to the young folk when they say, well, I'm not into all that religious or whatever? What is the proper way to guide them, you know,
change their direction
in that way? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the proper way to guide them, get them something to think about as far as the religious part of it? I'm not into that religious.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that right now. I talked to Pastor about dealing with that right now, because this character, I know he knows the Bible. I know he's read the Bible, and I know he knows how to do some positive things out of that Bible, but he just always want to give me a hard time about the Bible.
Yeah.
I told him, I got somebody that can answer them questions much better than me.
Right. You're going to have to give us a formula.
Yeah.
Come on, you people. Come on. Everybody press one. I know someone got something, have something good to say. How are we going to get our kids on the right track, and fathers and men, you know, taking your rightful place. And, you know, it's a lot of fathers and men out there that's doing it, that's doing, you know, being fatherly and taking care of their kids and raising them, you know. But we all, like you say, y'all get the dull end of the stick, and you know, people just kind
of
look
at you. They never saw their own fathers. A lot of times they never saw their own fathers, so they don't really know how it go anyway. Just in a speculation. You know, they're going to try me, a lot of them, because they didn't know how you know, they were raised by their moms. So some guys, you know, if their mom was always gave them things, so they could be going, like, I'm going to give you this, but you need to go stay over your auntie house because she wants to hang out. And then the children got that mentality, we can just leave the kids over so-and-so's house. No, you raise them, you put some quality time in them. You give them some direction. Somebody on good time, and you raise your child. No, you want to have a good time and have somebody else raise your child. There's a lot of that out there. Because I can speak on it, because I was like that at one point. That's why I know. I was like that. And it makes a difference when you raise your own, because you can instill some things in them you won't. Yeah.
Yeah, we just, you know, like you said, they don't, maybe a lot of them don't know their own dads and haven't, you know, seen a man around to show them a lot of those things. So that's why our men now need to just step up, you know, step up and be a father to some of these fatherless kids, you know, fatherless boys. And just,
But like just I say, if somebody says something wrong, and say, oh, he touched me in the, like, you may try and help them from falling and grab them by their hand. Or he touched my leg, and then, you know, then now you got a problem in court. So guys, be skeptical that I've talked to some guys, and they skeptical.
Well, if you're an upright, standing type of person, and you don't worry about that kind of stuff,
And, well, it ain't about to worry about it.
You know,
it's
you don't
have
no record. You don't have no record of doing anything like that, you know. You'll be all right.
No, it's not being all right in
that
perspective.
Kind of yeah.
It's the money you spend. The money you spend to prove yourself that you didn't do that. That's what I'm speaking
of. Well, it would have to get to that point. It would have to get to that
point. No, that's true.
Well,
I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But guys fear that because of all the different allegations that be out towards men now about various things. It used to be men would touch a girl and it was a problem. Now it's men touching guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know it sounds crazy and that sound may sound kind of negative, I'm giving you the legal aspect too, as well as from working as a policeman. I know how they think and how people have been charged of certain charges, and then you find out later they had nothing to do with it. That little person was just mad at them, so they said that. And then you can destroy a person.
You sure can. You can. Mm-hmm. And that can happen to anybody, anywhere, just like anything else can happen to anybody, anywhere. So we can't walk around scared. We really can't. We just trust God to protect us in all things.
But you have to be cautious as well, though.
You do. You do. Keep your eyes open. You do. You really do. So anybody else want to have a word to say? You are welcome. Just press your one. And open up your mic. Got any men out there that want to express themselves and tell us how you're helping the next generation to be the man that they should be? Okay. Let me see. So about 10 after 5. So that was some good stuff, Mr. Eric. Thanks for calling. You, that's what I like to hear stories like that. anybody else have any testimonies or anything that they want to share, so that we can motivate one another to, do what we need to do to help these little ones.
Just ask the young fellas not to be a father at a young age. That's the best problem, best thing. Wait until you're at least 21. An adult. You can take care of yourself before you start making a child.
Right. That's true. That's really true. So that's one thing that we could, look at. If we go to church and take our kids to church and just start, some kind of program where we talk about those things. I know my brother told his sons, he said, don't let anybody choose for you when you become a father, something to that fact. You make that decision when your time to want to have kids. You make the decision. Don't let nobody make that decision for you. So, I guess it takes a man to tell another man, child, young man, something like that. We could start some programs like that so that they won't prematurely, have kids until they're ready, until they're married. They know what they're getting themselves into. Hmm?
Peer pressure caught me. And I'll be honest, I'm listening to the fellas and their little stories in class. And it sounded interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then here I am at 16, a dad.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. At 16, a dad. Believe me, it wasn't easy. My parents said, I don't know how much fun you had making him, but you're going to have that same amount of fun taking care of him.
That's right. The parents back then, they made sure you took care of those kids. They made sure you knew exactly what you did and the consequences for doing it. But they still helped. They helped.
Yeah, they all helped.
They did.
All of them helped. Yeah, my dad, yeah. remarried his wife. All of them, they helped me a lot with my son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that's the extended family. And people cared back then. I hate to think that people don't care, you know, like they did back then, because I still see a lot of the extended family, you know, help and support going on. I do see mm-hmm. it. So it just seems like everything's out of order, but we do want to make sure that our kids have what they need to make it, because it seems like it's too many of them being put in these homes and, you know, juvenile homes and in jail and things like that. So we want to try to deter them from going that way. Yeah. We got a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do. A lot of work. So it's important, you know, for us to tell our kids to keep their record clean. And you know, if they get a license, make sure you really stop when it's red. You stop at the stop sign, you know, just give them. And, you know, I think that we're putting our kids out there too early when it comes to driving, you know. It's a lot more different with the driving now. They have to really, really know what they're doing before you put them out there. Because driving is not fun. It's not fun.
You know,
and we don't want to be able to take them where they're going, but we have to take them a little bit longer and let them observe us and see us driving and show them how while we're driving. Yeah, because a lot of little things that they don't know, and they're out there. I get in the car with young folk, and I be like, wow, I'm in danger.
What did you say? Danger.
Danger.
Sound like that robot in space. Danger.
Mm-hmm. Danger. Yes, sir. Danger. I know. I know one of my friends, she let her, you know, got her kids' cars and let them drive and all of that. And they scared of bugs because they done seen her screaming and hollering and running from bugs all her life. And, I mean, she see a bug, she gonna scream to talk her lung. So they learned to scream and run from bugs.
Wow.
So, see, that's why you can't. You got to watch what you do in front of these rascals. And so he was in the car one day, and a bug got in the car when he was driving. So you know what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to try to run in the car with the bug while you're driving. Huh?
They were driving.
Yeah, you know how that works. Yeah, they tore up some stuff. So you got to watch it. You got to watch what you do in front of your kids, because when they're little, they just like that now. They learn from us. They really do. They learn from us, so. All right. So anybody else want to talk about let me see, let me put 1483. I'm going to click you in, Ms. Pierce, because I know that you had a testimony about your stepson that he's completed something that you helped him to register for. You want to talk about that, Ms. Pierce?
Oh, my goodness. You put me on the spot. I just wanted to listen. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Okay, you're talking about.
I want people to hear
God.
About just the little help that you give a person that might not have, that needed some encouragement, was ready to jump off a cliff somewhere, and someone gave them some encouragement to do something different that maybe their parents have been trying to get them to do for years, and a bird come in and do it. Just like that, and they on the road to recovery. So tell us about your testimony. And that'll give others a chance to just think about when they see kids in certain situations and seeing them, you know, not doing anything or feeling bad about their life, that they'll, you know, think about what they can do to help that person. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Yes, just like Kathy said, sometimes as a parent, you can harp on your child about what they need to be doing because you want them to be more productive, or you want them to just start moving because they're getting older. You want them to start trying to find something to do because sometimes, especially with that pandemic coming along, some of our young people got sort of stagnant. So, and what I want to say is sometimes if you see a parent that may, who has a child or a young person who just may need a word of encouragement, sometimes you can say the very same thing that the parent is saying. And they might have heard it so many times, they just don't want to move because sometimes children get stubborn, you know. They don't want you harping on things and telling them what they should be doing. But then here comes a person who's not in the child's life every day may come along and say, hey, you know, I've heard about this program that you probably are excellent for. And so what basically had happened was one of my grandchildren through marriage, I was telling him about my young men, how they went to a trade school to get a trade, and how I felt that he was a good candidate for that. And so one day I called him because I know that he wanted to do some things, but he just didn't know where to go, or he just didn't feel, he had some other things that was going on, you know, a girlfriend, and he just, and you know, maybe the mom was saying, hey, you need to start doing this and that. Well, just one day I called him and I just asked him, would he go with me to this AIT, it's a college in Canton. I said, would you just go with me there? I said, and talk to someone about the different trades they have. And he immediately said yes. And I was just so happy. I said, oh my, you know, I just asked that one time. He said, yeah. He said, where do you want to go? I said, well, they have, I said, well, they said you can walk in anytime between certain hours. And so he said, yes. I said, so you want to go tomorrow? He told me yes. And I was just so happy about that because he told me yes. And so we went there and lo and behold, you know, I guess God is always in the plan. We had a good counselor who just talked so positive to him and told him about all different programs they had that I was excited. He looked like he was excited. And the man even told him after they finished the program how they could always come back there if they need brushing up on anything, and if he wanted to change his career since he had already maybe have started maybe a year program, that he can come back and start another field, and he doesn't have to go through some of the prerequisites and earn a bachelor in a certain field. And so he was excited, but then the counselor told him that he had a class that was starting in about a week to 10 days. And the young man said, I want to do this and that first. He wanted to try to get a new apartment and this and that. And so because the counselor asked him, what was preventing him from starting, like, right now? And so he told him. So I said to the young man, my grandson, I said, listen, I said, once you get enrolled in this program, it's going to be less pressure on you to try to find a place to stay. You can always get a place to stay, but right now you need to get started in this program so you can, because it's only like a 9-month program. You could be done before the spring or summer of next year. I think this was in like August, you know, or September. And so, well, lo and behold, that young man is going to be graduating from that program in about a month. know. And they already have it. I'm sure he's already getting job offers, because anybody who graduates from that school, they know that they are trained and what they're going to feel they're going to do. And I'm just so happy about that. That's and like I said, his mom mentioned that to me and his uncle just yesterday, that because his uncle didn't know he was enrolled in school, and she said he's getting ready to graduate, and she said, you know, Mama D just took him. I took him. I didn't just talk about it. I actually picked him up from his house and took him to the school. And like I said, it was just so positive. And he's really serious about what he's doing. He's doing so well. And he's already at the end where he's going to be graduating. And I know that there are going to be a lot of job offers for him in that field. I had told him that one of my other nephews had already had completed their program, and he had already been placed at a job. And then my cousin, who did that for a living, he worked for all the Farmer Jack and warming companies throughout Michigan and Toledo. He retired doing that. And it just so happened, he happened to call that day, and he told the young man, he said, as long as people own homes, you'll always have a job. So, like what she mentioned yesterday, I was just so happy to hear that, because like you say, you never know. You could say the same thing someone's parents is saying to their child all the time, but someone else may come and say the very same thing, and they might decide to move on what that person says. So if you see a young person out there that's struggling or trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life, you know, tell them about someone that you know who might have went through something and tried a trade school, and see if that helps, because you never know. God is always in the plan, and if it's meant to be, then that person certainly will follow your advice. And I just thank God that he did, because I know that he's a good young man, you know, good-hearted, and I know that he's a you know, he's going to be a good worker. I'm just forecasting. And I told him, while we were driving home, how happy I was that he listened to me. You know, I told him how happy I was that he listened to me. And I told him I could see him in a year or two having his own business started, and I can just already see this van with his name on the air, Joshua and Company, out Heating and Cooling. I can see that already, you know. And so all he had to do is just put that plan in action, and you know, and it's going to be there. His mother's praying, and his goodwill, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Good story. I know, and I always would ask Miss Pierce about his progress, and it was always something, you know, good that he was still just kept going. So yes, and
yeah.
I like the way you motivated him and encouraged. You know, you have to give these kids encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them going,
right? Because sometimes as parents, we have a vision for our children, but that's not what they want to do, you know. My sons, when I sent them away to college, you know, after going to the second year, they said to me, I don't see myself sitting in some office somewhere. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be, they didn't want to do that. They said they can't see themselves like that. And so one of them went to truck driving school, and that's what he does. And the other one, like I said, went to the same aeronautic school. He started here in Michigan, and then he finished in Georgia. And there was another young man who went to high school with him, who introduced him to that field. He told my son, he said, all you have to do is go and complete the course. He said, I already have a job lined up for you, because where he worked in Ohio, the person who owned that particular, that fixed airplanes, he told him that he was so good. He said, I would hire anybody that you recommend. Sight unseen. And so, so my son, he did it. He finished, had his paper, got his license. He got his license. And he went there, and they said yes. And so he stayed there for a couple of years in, you know, Cleveland cold. So he had been in Georgia for a while and was enjoying that warm weather. And so he, you know, found somewhere else to go, you know, where it was warmer weather. But he's still doing a job, and he still have to do some training sometimes because things change. But he's the best at what he does. He has been to places where other guys have not continue their training, and they have put him as the head person as far as a job, so that he was the one who tells the other mechanics and whatnot what to do, and he has to sign off on that to make, you know, because if isn't he sign off on something and that plane comes down, he's going to be in big trouble. And he is very meticulous in what he does, very meticulous, and I'm so proud of him because of, you know, he. You know, I didn't see that for him in the future. And when he was coming up, I thought these guys, they were, you know, I thought they were both going to be working at McDonald's and trying to get somewhere to pay the rent somewhere.
All right.
You know.
Wow.
You know.
So you put a lot of work in them for them not to be going to McDonald's. I remember when we were driving them to school, it was so funny. We were taking them to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And they was being like
Tuscaloosa, Talladega.
Yes, sir. Oh, okay, it was near Tuscaloosa. That's the big city. And so they were being rebellious because I guess they thought that she was just giving them away, like, you're just going to drop us off, you know. So they was being, like, rebellious and a little mad in the car. So they were saying some things and doing some stuff. And so I was driving, and she was like, she whispered, she goes,
speed up. Speed up. I did, you know. I told her to speed up. I was done. Those guys sent me through the ringer trying to make sure they were educated. You know, they didn't wanna do anything. They just wanted to work my nerves, and I was like, shoot, you're gonna get out of here. You know, somebody wanna let you go to their college, you're gonna go somewhere and get some extra knowledge, but you're not gonna be hanging around me. I was done. I told her from the get go that when they were little, I told them my contract was for 18 years. I'm fulfill that contract, and then it's up to you to do what you need to do to survive.
And that's it.
May sound harsh, but that's what I told them. The law said 18 years.
Whew. Yeah, that was good. Got them all set up when we put the pedal to the metal, getting back.
Yeah, right. I sure did, you know. Yeah. And let me just say this one other thing, you know. One other thing I'd just like to say is that they both, when they didn't want to continue going to college, they both went into the military reserve. They went in as reserves. And going into that reserve and getting that training for whatever time they had, that really helped to put a fit and shine on them. It really helped, believe me. So you got these young men or women who don't know what they want to do, the military is there for them. And that really helped them because they were able to because they were reserved, they were able to use their benefits for school, and that's what they paid for. Most of it was their truck driving school, and some of that, you know, they pay for all of that aeronautic school, but they paid for a good chunk of it. That really, really helped them, you know, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one time we used to shun the military, you know, for our kids, but I think that's, like you said, it's a good start for them, yeah, to grow them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some responsibilities. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Ms. Pierce. Yeah. That was great. I tell you, that was a funny trip. That was really, really funny.
Yeah.
But they've done well. We're proud of those guys. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any good testimonies? We want to hear more. Yeah, that's great. Well, okay. I just want to say, let me see. We have some graduates. Does anybody want to shout out their graduate or somebody who's graduating from college or high school or trade school or anything? Just let me know, and I will shout them out. You can press one. You can shout them out yourself. So we have Shania Cox, who graduated from Michigan State University, and she is now living in Cincinnati, Ohio, working for Hormel Foods. So she's going to get so many years of training, and then after she's done with that training, she's going to be able to pick wherever she wants to go in the world that they have Hormel Foods. So that is great. Congratulations, Shania. And then we have Amir Jones. He is graduating from, I believe, Woodhaven High School. And he's planning on going to trade school. Yeah, Amir goes to Runner for Christ Ministries and 18 years old, big guy, and he is going to trade school. He's going to do something. And then we have Tiana Nicole Johnson. And she is Mrs. Pierce's granddaughter, and she is going to Tennessee. She graduated from Romulus High School just this past week, and she is planning on going to Tennessee State University and pursuing administrative business administrative. So that's good. We want to hear about everybody more. Yeah, our kids are doing some great things, and there's a whole lot of them doing some great things, and so let us know what they're doing, and we will shout them out, okay? All righty. Thank you, Sister Pierce. That was a good story, brought back some memories, and, you know, you always want to be able to look back and have fun and laugh at, you know, where we were to where we've come now. So that was cool. Yeah. Okay, let's see where Pastor O at. Oh, you in the house? There goes Pastor O. Hey, Pastor O, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing this evening? Good.
Just wonderful.
You know, I've been
listening. Welcome to Bring Back the Family.
You're welcome. I've been listening, getting a lot of work done, you know, getting the jobs ministry page together, the Elf's ministry page together. Got a chance to listen to you and Eric Van back and forth. Always enjoy Sister Pierce.
Pastor, I'm sorry. Let me interrupt you 1 second. We got one more caller there, and then really want to hear from this person. Let me let her in. Hey there, it's 412. Is that you, Mother Irma? Hello? Mother Irma? Well, she might have got tired of waiting. I didn't realize she was on there until now. Okay. Mother Irma, we'll come back to you. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, let me unmute. I'm unmuted.
Okay.
Yeah, like I was saying, it was good hearing. I know Mother Pierce always has something good to say, got a lot of wisdom. And, you know, life experience counts and helps. You know, when you've been there, done that, then you always have something to help somebody else with. You know, back in the day, I was thinking about, as we was listening, at one time, the Lord had my wife and I sort of helping young families out. They would be struggling through. That's how we really got started into the health ministry at Runner for Christ. We started we started helping. There would be single mothers and then a mother and a father with children, but they're struggling. And we would try to fill in the gap to help them out, to get the kids to, you know, a better place in life. And at first we didn't kind of understand what was going on, because we would help these families, and then all of a sudden, boom, they just disappear. And then we'd pick up another one, and the same thing would happen. And the Lord was like, well, when the work is done, it's kind of time for them to go on their own, right? That's the whole thing. So we came to understand what he was doing. He was using us to help them get up until they could walk on their own, and then you go to the next one. And so that's what I was thinking about when I was listening to Eric, and he was talking about the things that he used to do to help people, or still is, to help people. He helped a lot of people, and he's still into that. You know, and like he was saying, today is a little bit difficult because things are different, but like you said, we cannot quit. The devil would love it if we just quit. It's hard, it's difficult, and it's tricky, and it's scary because of those things for men getting involved could turn into what he said, and that didn't even happen, and now you seriously have to spend money defending against it. So, but then, like you said, we can't allow that to make us afraid, and we just have to take every precaution that we can to make sure that even if something like that did happen, we can fight our way out of it without a whole lot of rigmarole. But, you know, for us to get back to the place where we need to be, you know, I heard you say God has given us another chance. I like to believe that this is our last chance. We're so close to rapture time that whatever we're doing now is end time stuff. And I'm not being spooky because we've been in the last days. When you hear those words, last days, everybody gets some sort of something conscious up in their head. And if that last days hit without knowledge, then, boy, all kinds of things come up. But last days simply means that God's making his last attempt to get folks saved before the rapture. That's all. And we've been in the last days 2022 years, okay? But as far as God is concerned, that's just 2 days, because God is not bound by time. So the last day could be, as far as we're concerned, anytime. As far as God is concerned, is when he's ready, because God is not bound by time. He gave time to the earth. You know, an evening and a morning were the first day, the first 24-hour period. You string seven of them together, you got a week. You string 4 to 5 of them together, you got a month. And 52 of those, you got a year. And then you get to decades and everything else, right? But he's not bound by that. There is no time in heaven. There's no morning, no noon, no night. So for him to come back could be now, because God lives in the right now. We live in time. Everything for us is time, but for them it's right now. That's why it says 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years, because he's not bound by time. It makes no difference to him. It is not saying a day with God is like 1,000 years, because God does not have years. He's eternal. That is one of his attributes, that he is eternal. So it's not, time has nothing to do with him. But what God is saying, it makes no difference to me whether it's a day or 1,000 years. It could be right now. And so these are those days. And you can tell I mean, we were trying to mourn and get upset about Buffalo. But then Uvalde happened. And we were trying to get upset and think, what are we going to do about that? But then Tulsa happened. Just so you know, 26 mass shootings have happened since Buffalo. 26. Mm. That's when four or more people are shot or killed. Since Buffalo. But not every one of them make it into the news at the same level as these. So that's what, again, that's why when I was listening to you and bring back the family, and I'm asking Jesus, really, what is this? You know, what are you doing here? I'm trying to see and find mm-hmm. out, be nosy, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just hit me. These are the last days, and this is God's last effort or last attempt at getting the family restored, raising up the awareness that there's a problem. And the problem is we have strayed so far away from God's order of things. And that's why we're out of order. We are all the way back to the days of the judges. We like to feel like we're so, what is it, aristocratic? Okay, but we are so far off from where God intended us to be. I mean, we have done the exact same thing that when Joshua and them went into the promised land, right? Moses is gone. That whole first generation is gone. This second generation is in. They in the promised land. And then the craziest verses come out of nowhere in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. They had managed to raise a generation that did not know God. How in the world do you not tell your children about Egypt and what God did there? No Red Sea, no anything that happened in the wilderness. No, even how you ended up here. No history at all. And so they managed to raise a generation that did not know God. Now, America, I know it's for black folks, we like to look at how we came from where we got here in 1611 when slaves first started arriving to where we are now. But it pretty much was the same for Europeans, too, because they came here, the Irish, the Italians, they all went through what we went through. They were free, right, but they weren't liked. They weren't liked at all, okay? And so they were marginalized. And everybody has a history from when they got here to where we are now. And if you look back at everybody's history, what you will see is struggle. And what you'll see is one generation telling the next generation about the struggle. And when the Irish became criminals, the Italians became criminals, they became criminals to fight back. Okay, like Huey P. Newton and the Nation of Islam. They did that to fight back. The gangs, if you really understand Crips and Bloods, what you'll understand is what was happening in our neighborhoods, they formed groups to stop that. But then things switched up. Later on, it switched up and we started killing each other. But they were there to protect the community. And so when you look at what we went through to deal with these struggles to protect our kids, and that's where the saying comes from, I want a better life for my kids than what I had. But those people who were saying that were coming out of a failed Reconstruction effort. They were coming out of some of the most horrendous times in the United States. Couldn't even get on a bus and then had to go to the back seat. Okay, Rosa Parks wasn't the first one who refused to go to the back seat. She's the first one that got notoriety, and it happened at just the right time. But those struggles, we made sure our kids knew that it was Jesus who brought us from there to here. It is our faith in him and leaders that God used. That's why in black church, their pastors or reverends are expected to be at the forefront of the civil rights movement. They look to them to be their leaders out. They look for their Moses, and God gave us one, Martin Luther King. He was not the only one fighting, but right place, right time, right person, God chose, boom. here he is, Martin Luther King, leading all these people. But if you look around, Reverend Shuttlesworth, Reverend Andrew Young, Reverend this, Reverend that, those were the leaders. Now, I said all that to say this. Then we come up north because we figure out that the South is just not going to straighten out. And I'm not just talking about black folks. There were poor, dirt poor white folks in the South, too. They weren't having it as well as some black folks were having it. Not all black folks were slaves, just so we know that. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a whole lot in each nationality or race that came here to America to make a better life for themselves went through struggle. But at some point, when we started to get the good jobs and when the pay started to increase, We shifted. It used to be a time that children couldn't be children, not because they were scared of the culture that they were living in and it was so dangerous, but because they had to help the family out to make a living. It wasn't until the late 1800s, early 1900s that parents could start to have Christmas for their kids without seemingly spoiling them. And then kids usually grew up on a farm and helped around the farm. Now kids don't do that. They go to school all the day while the parents go off to work. So there was a great shift in society, and it hurt both sides because children were beginning to be provided for, cared for. And before you know it, we just slipped into all you need is a good education. If you want to go to church, go. If you don't, don't. And that's, we didn't keep it up. We didn't keep passing Jesus down. You know, Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, I just loaded it up on recorded services, sermons today or services on our website. Generational discipleship, we failed at that. We taught them how to value a good education somewhat. And we taught them to get a good job so they could make some good money and get up out of our house and stand on their own 2 feet, get a husband, mm-hmm. get a wife, get a family, do that whole thing. But what we didn't teach them was Jesus. And now the devil out here running rampant, and we set it up for him. I mean, nobody knows the word of God, so it's hard for anybody to defend against the wiles of the devil. Nobody's wearing their armor. You know, Ephesians 6 tells us to get our armor on. But you know what? This is the wonderful thing that I love about God. You can always do a 180-degree turn and bring back the family. You can always say enough is enough. Something got to happen. Bring back the family happens. That's what happens. And this is a beginning. This is a start. This is a raising of awareness. Coming up on 1 year, talking to baby Holy Ghost, and I was like, you know, I remember the first year, you know, and I was thank God for it. But now, you know, here it is, 19 years later, 20 years later, and you're in year one. It makes me wonder, and I know what we are today, we're reaching 140,000 people that we've been able to reach out and touch who may tune in anytime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about what God is going to do, because to do this, you got to be faithful. Some Sundays you might have 50 listeners, some Sundays two listeners, you know. You got to be, because when you're looking at that switchboard and you got to get people involved and all of that, open your phone. I remember when we did that show on Where Are the Men At, you know, and no, not one man called in. But all their numbers were there in the switchboard. But it turns out it was their wives, and they were listening but wouldn't say a word. And, you know, so when I think about that 1 year, that's a great milestone. I mean, you held out no matter what God did or how things went. You held out, and I think that first year is a test of you. And once God knows that you know what this is and what this is about, and you won't quit, then you can see your way forward. And you made it through that year. That next, like you say, Father's Day coming up. And I remember it was on Father's Day, and it seemed like that year went by so quick when you think about that. But it was on Father's Day that you said you was going to start that first show, and I'll never forget it. And it don't even seem like it's been a year. It just seemed like weeks, but it's actually been 52 weeks and only missed maybe a couple shows. And that's some awesome stuff. So I'm excited about what God is going to do in the future. But, raising awareness, this is what have to happen first. Somebody have to raise an awareness because things need to change. Because when you're 18 years old and you're living in your grandmother's house and you're planning on shooting her in the face and she's over a phone bill that she's paying for you and you're living in her house, and your plan is to shoot her in the face because you're upset about what she's saying about your telephone, and then you fail at that, you just damage her real bad, and then you're off to anywhere, and you end up in a school, and you literally riddle 19 children with a military assault-style weapon and kill two teachers. And all of the other missteps that went along with this, we definitely need to bring back the family and bring it back strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've not failed at giving, yes, we've made life better for our kids than it was for us materially, maybe. Okay, but we definitely haven't made it better for them spiritually. And that's the part where we failed. You know, and I keep seeing this thing on Facebook and other places, social media sites, and I really wish we would stop looking so crazy when we say this. You know, school was a whole lot better before they took prayer out. Parents, teach your children how to pray in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Teach your children. You know, when you go to a home going or a funeral sometime, they tell you to bow your head in silence for the reading of the obituary. Or sometimes they don't even read it. You just bow your head in silence and read it yourself. Pray in silence. If you want prayer back in school, parents, teach your children how to pray. And when they see something in school, just, you don't even have to close your eyes. Jesus never kind of really made that up. We did. Okay? Jesus would look up to heaven and say, "Our Father who art in heaven." He did not do the things that we do. Now, you can humble yourself in your heart. The very fact that you recognize God means you're humbling yourself, okay? And God will see your humble heart and answer your prayer. Even though you're standing on your feet with your eyes wide open, he will still hear you. He can hear unspoken words. So if you want prayer back in school, parents, teach your children to pray and become concerned about their Christian education, especially if you, young boys or girls, especially nothing. If you got a young boy, you got a young girl, okay, a child, teach them. Teach them the word. Don't leave that part out. Want them to have that like you want them to have that education. Make sure they get that Christian education. Because when they grow up, they'll know which way to go. You have to impress it on them. I hate to start preaching. I ain't going to even preach, but listen to this. Just listen to what the Lord says and how he wants us to do it. He's calling for parents to have wholehearted commitment. "These commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, you must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear or reverence the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all these decrees and commands, you will enjoy long life." Listen closely, Israel, and be careful. to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. You see how God wants us to be intentional about teaching our kids? He also wants them to know what 2 + 2 is, where Bermuda is, what the government, how it works. He wants them to have a civil undergirded with a spiritual education. That way, you know, he can use them wherever they are. They could, like Sister Pierce said about the skilled trades, Peter wasn't Paul. Paul was an intellectual, okay, and he hung around in those circles. Peter was an ignorant fisherman, but he was a fisherman, and Peter made good money. Why? Because he was teamed up with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They had a fishing business down in Jerusalem, in that area, and they also had a fishing one up there in Galilee. Okay? So they ran a nice fishing business. And the money they made from the fish that Jesus gave them for using their boat to preach from, that was enough for them to leave with their families and with John's father to take care of their wives while they was off with Jesus for 3 years. The 153 fish they got when they got back, because Jesus done rose from the dead, but he ain't with them every day, and he ain't providing for them all day, every day, like he was before he raised from the dead. Now he's popping in and popping out. But he tells the Peter, say, look, I'm going fishing. They went fishing, caught 153 fish, 143 fish, one of the two. But it was enough for them to go and sell and put money back in their pockets since they're back home from all these travels. So whether you're intellectual like Paul or whether you are ignorant, skilled trade fisherman like Peter, the Lord will provide for you. But he don't want you to neglect giving your kids a Christian education. Let them know about the God that brought, brings, and going to bring you over. Don't you become their God, or they're going to come to you like you come to God. You come to God with all your stuff, but you can't worry him to death. But your kids will empty out your pockets real quick if you don't teach them how to go to God about the light bill, the gas bill, the taxes, and all that other stuff. So you want them to have the secular in both of them. And, you know, and if you can find a family to help, you know, whatever your means are, just trust me, the Lord will bless you to be able to do that. If God knows in your heart and God wants to use you to help this family, to show them God's love, he will give you whatever you need to do that. But you have to have the heart to do that. So that's my 5 minutes of fame right there. Go to church all the way open.
That's it. Thank you, Pastor. You got to have the heart to do it. And that's what it's about, having that heart. Yeah, when I protect you and all you do.
When we talked about, you said, I want to do something for the kids. Next thing you know, you're setting up a whole street. See, it's just that easy. And they and like you say, when you came home, here they are sitting here. They want that. They're crying out for that.
I'm trying to put the pedal to the metal and go back around the block, go to the river, until it got dark.
Right. I wonder where Miss Cat is. Let's go get a flashlight and sit here till she get off. You come on, they turn on the flashlight, skating down. Hi, Miss Cat.
Oh, they're so cute. It's a real, this little bitty one, his name Landon. I think he's about 3 or 4. He looked at me with his little eyes and looked up at me and said, I had the best time ever yesterday.
Right, they're adorable. You know what I mean?
And he is so adorable. He was just looked at me like, and he little bitty thing. He said, I had the best time ever. He was big boy. I had the best.
You know, it's so easy to show them love, you know, because they don't really expect much. They not likely to ask you to pay a light bill or a gas bill, nothing like that. They're kids, they love to ask you for a hot dog. Can I have hot? Yes.
Yuck. And some ramen noodles.
I got something for you. Yeah, these are the best thing on earth. They call them ramen noodles.
Yeah, ramen noodles. They come in and they'll fix them themselves. I'm like, okay.
Right. You know, but that's, they need that because we had that.
Yeah.
We had it. And we keep asking the question, what do we do? That's what we do. What we had, we give it to them. We stop saying, I want their life. Our life was it's just awesome. We brag about what we had as youth, young people growing up, right? But somehow we want our kids' lives to be better than ours. But we were happy. We loved it. But we give them what we had so they get that feeling we had. You know, I was so, when Eric was talking about his mother, you know, she was something else. She was tough, but the love was through the roof. I mean, she was just awesome, okay, you know, and that's what we had coming up. And we ought to want to give that same thing to them.
Same thing. That's all they want. Simple. It's simple.
That's it. They're not asking for much.
They not.
But it does it does so much. You know, back in the day, they used to tell this story about this lion, and he had got something stuck in his paw and couldn't get it out. And then he told the little mouse saw him in trouble, and, you know, and the mouse helped him get the little splinter out. And from that day on, him and the lion became friends. And then one day, the mouse found himself in trouble. An elephant was trying to crush him, and the lion showed up. Or either the lion was out hunting, looking for food, and was getting ready to eat something. Mm-hmm. And turns out it was the mouse that helped him out, so he didn't eat him.
Wow.
And so if we think about that, you know, like you say, the children that we don't help today will be, if we don't help our children today, we'll be victims of not having helped them tomorrow. And that is so true. Imagine this, the little boy that said, this is the best day ever. He grows up. But he ain't feeling a whole lot of love. So he gets the idea to start robbing people to make some cash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And then he comes up and he sticks, you feel a gun in your back. And you say, I don't have anything. And the little boy say, Miss Kathy? And you turn around and say, yeah. And he say, I'm the one that had that real. See how that works? My wife
and I
speak to everybody on our street,
no matter what
they look like or are like. So this is my last story, and then I'm going to get off. I went to the drag strip, left my shed wide open. There's a crack here living right down the street from us, but I always spoke to him, gave him little odd jobs to do. And so I figured when I get back, as soon as I saw the door wide open, I'm like, oh, well, that's empty. You know, I figured, but here he pops out of nowhere. He has been watching it since I left, so nobody would go in and steal it. And I'm saying to myself, but you're the one that would go in and steal it. But anyway, he did. Because of the way I treated him, he looked out for me. So when we look out for these kids and say they're having a bad day and they get into a bad way in life and they show up at your door trying to do something wrong and then they see your face and remember your kindness, you'd have no idea where that could start. That could turn them away from that and somewhere else. So we should think about that. every time we deal with children. I tell people that right. all the time. Them druggy guys, they call them, say hi to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then you'll become like my wife's auntie is in heaven now, but they used to call, she could walk up on Visga on the corner of 19th Street with
mm-hmm.
no fears, a single woman by
yes.
herself. And they
mm-hmm.
would call her Miss Lucille and wouldn't
mm-hmm.
mess with
yep.
her at all. My mother was the
at
same
all.
Way. The guys on the corner with the older corner hangouts would make us younger corner hangouts behave. And I turned around. It was my mother. But they had that kind of respect for her.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
this other lady named Mose, she used to live over on 13th Street, the same thing. But it's the way she treated the guys that made them, if you even looked at her funny, you'd have a pack of drunks all over you trying to tear your head off because of her. Because they loved her,
mm-hmm.
because of the way she was so good to them, even though they were corner dwellers, she had that respect. I never forgot
mm-hmm.
that. So, yeah.
That's true. Someone went in my dad's garage and stole his rotor tiller, and the guy down the street said, that's Mr. Clyburn's, and he brought it back.
Exactly. Same thing happened with my son's bike.
Mm-hmm.
I told one guy, I said, man, my son got his bike stolen today. He said, where was it at?
Mm-hmm.
He said, up on the,
yeah.
I said, he was on the store on Jefferson. When he came out, it was gone. It
mm-hmm.
was maybe 2 hours later, he came back with the,
mm-hmm.
he had the boy who stole it to bring it back.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. There you go. I know I used to, when I used to go out to work, I would leave at 4:30 in the morning. It'd be guys out there, you know, in front of your house and stuff on the street selling, you know, drugs and stuff. But when I would go out, I would feel safe.
Because they know.
Don't let nobody bother me. Yeah, I would feel safe. So I said, well, ain't no sense in calling the police on them because they going to be there before the police. they
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like back in the day,
yeah.
Bungie Carter
mm-hmm.
and all of them, when they created those, the Crips and the Bloods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was created for a good reason. It turned into something else. But
yeah.
in the beginning, it was to stop folks coming into the neighborhood and
mm-hmm.
doing whatever they wanted to people and taking off. So one day they decided to roll up in the neighborhood. They rolled up into the Crips. They rolled up into the Bloods,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and they stopped rolling up into the neighborhood doing whatever they wanted to. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I guess that same kind of spirit is still there. This is
mm-hmm.
my hood,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to protect
mm-hmm.
it. But like I say, later on, because of money, it turned into something else. It became about the money instead of about the community.
Right.
I think it was
mm-hmm.
CRIP, as Community Revolutionary Inter-Party Service. That's what CRIP means. How
mm-hmm.
many people ever knew that's what that the word CRIP was an acronym for? Community Revolutionary Inter-Party Service.
Hmm.
You know, I never knew it until I found it out from Lecrae in one of his tunes about gangs. And I learned so much on that. It was a record, but the knowledge, if you look it up, is true. It's all true. It's all real. And so
in the party service, wow.
Yeah, Community Revolutionaries in the Party Service, CRIPS.
Hmm.
I never. I just thought it was Crips because the way they walked, and then they wore blue. I'm like, I don't know.
I was gonna say kryptonite or something.
Exactly. I had no idea.
Superman, kryptonite.
Exactly. We kryptonite to the neighborhood. We kill it.
Wow. Oh, well, Pastor, I got to get out here with the kids because they all on the porch making noise and stuff.
This is for real. Well, I appreciate it.
Do my
Thanks
show. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Earl. You really wrapped it up real good, and everybody really appreciate you. Thank everybody for tuning in and calling in and all your good conversation. And just have a good week, and we will see you next Sunday. Hey, if the Lord says so. And that's it. Come on, get on your block and do something with the kids. They need you. They really do. Okay. Adios. Thank you.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for heroes. People need someone to look up. Never found anyone who fulfilled my needs. A lonely place to be. And so I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least
Amen.